Beautiful people, welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show, where we connect you with stakeholders sharing their knowledge, experience, and opportunities in the agricultural space. So this month, we are starting a series on food and nutrition, as this is a major topic that shouldn't be overlooked. But before we get right into today's topic, I have a question for you guys. What does good nutrition mean to you? I mean, send in your voice record and let's create a podcast out of it. I'll be expecting it. So for today, we will be discussing how we can provide good nutrition in rural communities. And to make this happen, we have with us Omar Diaye, the Director of Africa Business Development of Nutrition International. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's really, really a pleasure to have you here. How are you doing?
Thank you very much, Sharon, for really inviting me to your talks about agriculture. It's Let's Talk Agriculture podcast. So I am doing very well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So before we get right into the business of today, I would like you to tell us a little bit about you, your journey, I mean, your career journey in the agriculture sector. So just tell us a little bit about it. Let's get to know you.
What can I say? I will start saying that I am really a Pan-Africanist, passionate about African development, and I really feel Africa in the deep of my soul and my heart. And I don't generally answer to the question which country I am from, because I always consider that I am from Africa. And definitely also that really portrayed my journey. I have been working since the beginning of my career some 15 years ago across Africa, fighting for and helping, supporting the effort of those who are really tackling and addressing the most pressing social issue, like agriculture, like nutrition. Across Africa, also health, education. But for the last 3 to 5 years, I've been mostly focused on agriculture and now on the nutrition side. So as per se, I have been, my career, I've been focused on mobilizing resources for development financing. And I am really innovative and entrepreneurship spirit. That's also portrayed in my education. So I have I am an MBA holder and just finished also a master in innovation and entrepreneurship with HEC Paris. That's enabled me to join the leading group of alumni, the first around the world of HEC alumni, and to really bring that discussion about how to bring innovation into financing agriculture and nutrition across Africa. So my side also, I can call my hustling, is really about investing myself into agriculture. I do, beside my work, a bit of work in farming myself, and try to work and talk the talk that I've been also doing to support other farmers. So I've been implementing myself those advice and see what is the real challenge in it. So yeah, that is me in Nashville.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because it is so amazing to know that you're committed to the agricultural sector. And I really like the fact that you're not just trying to segregate yourself. I mean, we are all Africans, and it's really great to see that you're doing something in the agricultural space. Thank you so much also for providing the food that we eat as well.
I mean, you're welcome. Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure, is always when I went to my own farm, bringing something small at home. I say small, either milk, either meat, either corns, or everywhere, or everything else. So I think that are the moment that I feel the biggest joys. Out to bringing, producing food to home from my own production. Yeah.
That's really great. I can imagine, you know, I at some point my mom had this backyard farm, and she was able to harvest that corn And it was so amazing. He was super,
it is,
super excited.
It is.
He said, it's really just amazing when we have some of these necessities in our houses, especially for, you know, for the older people that can barely now go to the markets. But thank you so much anyway for your contribution to this sector.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So yeah, what are the pillars I believe to be like for food security is access. So somehow I feel it is important for us to have access to sufficient, to safe and nutritious food to eat. And for proper diet, of course, and well-being. But that isn't the case, you know, because at this point, people still find it difficult. I mean, those in the rural areas, they still find it difficult to access nutritious food. So what role do you think agriculture plays to increase the availability and, of course, access to nutritious food in rural areas?
So I really believe that, first of all, I want to set up the big picture. I think that for our countries to really, I mean, African countries and even anywhere, there is really three pillars that every country must by all means develop and invest in. Those three areas are first agriculture. Their agriculture, they should be able to feed themselves. The second is about health. They should be able to really have a strong health system, I mean a country by they. And the third one is education, to educate the people. So it's quite clear, it's about healthy body with a kind of nutritious food and a brain that is kind of developed. So this is really, for me, the equation of the development. And I have been recently kind of comfort to see that that's have been the key recommendation from the World Bank, the latest report to the World Bank is some kind of most of the country in Africa, that's where they have to invest in. So from then, I will be coming to your question specific. How can we really ensure that we have a nutritious food at our rural level through agriculture? So I think that, and that is also obvious, that the biggest number of people who are bringing food to us are called African smallholder farmers. So these are those who have been holding a plot which is between 1 to below 2 hectares. Let's bring it to below 2 hectares that are producing in that space. So if you look at our rural area, these are the guys that have been bringing food to the table, including including women and men. So I really want to emphasize also the role of women in that space. So how that agriculture can bring a nutritious food to everyone mostly at rural level. So the first one for me is about the diversity of crop, how we have to support those farmers to produce a diverse crop, but also nutritious food. If you look at, there are so many crops that can be produce at our rural level that are very nutritious, and also that really support the body of human to really get all the most of the micronutrients and most of the nutrition that the body needs. If, for instance, I will give you an example of the sweet potato. The orange flesh sweet potato is so dense in terms of nutrition, in terms of vitamin A, so that these are things that we have to promote at the community level, not only the cash crop, but also that diversification is very important. Indeed, most of the farmers will be invest into a crop, cash crop, so that to get money and later on go and buy food. But I have been really supporting the idea that we have to diversify producing what we eat at first, and later on we build on the cash crop. The cash crop is good for the economy, but it's not always good for the nutritious side, because if you look at most of, I will give you for instance an example of a country like Mali, where farmers have been producing cotton at the large scale, and the cotton later on is go into the industrial process. But later on, this same cotton producer will take the money and go and buy what he or she eats to them on the market. So you can see how somehow some of the agriculture have been retroverted for the industrial purpose instead of the nutrition purpose. So definitely I have nothing against those processed industrial crops, but we have also to support the small farmer order to produce nutritious food. So there are a number of them. You take, for instance, the cowpeas is so dense in nutritious. In nutrition. You take orange flesh potato, you take something like a moringa. It's possible for every farmer's order to have at least some few moringa trees in the farm that they can enjoy the leaves, they can enjoy the grain, they can enjoy everything from those kind of trees. So I think that diversification is really the key for the sustainable nutrition agriculture sensitive.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think it's not so much of a big deal now with the way you've just broken it down. I mean, I just feel just this like we just need to diversify the kind of crops that we are planting, right? So that definitely. Way we are able to get some nutritious food. So I think that's not really so much of an issue, but how many persons know this? How many persons know that they don't really have to do so much, just the basics? I mean, just planting the food that we can eat first. I mean, I think that's really a concern. So many persons are trying to focus on other feeding the other places and not really focusing on what we are supposed to do here. Africa, we actually have the capacity to feed ourselves, but it looks like we are not prioritizing it or something. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that this is really somehow true, because if you look at most of the African country, you will be reminded that the first cocoa producer is African. The best coffee producer somehow is African. Africa are among the top in cotton producing. Africa does X, Y, Y crop, cash crop. But while we are also facing a very huge issue of nutrition and even food security somehow. So I think it is all about that education that we have to extend. Sometimes we can even look at it as the extension, the agriculture extension. How can we really tune or channel our extension support to farmers toward the nutritious food? That is one aspect. And more also, I think that the research have been playing a great role. If you look at now, it's possible to have a crop fortified, so which help to really reduce the currencies and deficiencies in vitamin A. So I think these are also some of the products or innovation that we have really also pushed toward into the end of the farmer to really support on that. But I want also to insist here on the important role also that the micronutrition supply could also contribute to the aspect of nutrition. For instance, ensure that even at community rural level that we have the availability, we are able to supply and make the population access to vitamin A, for instance, the zinc and all those micronutrition available to the population. So like elsewhere around the world. So that should not more be a luxury for the African population. So I think that to address that issue, to come back to your question, we need to work together. So working together is coming out from the silo of agriculture, the silo of earth, of health, the silo of education. So how can you combine our education efforts so that the agriculture and health and the education colleagues working together and delivering something comprehensive to the community level, since it is the same population that we are targeting, that all these three are targeting, why don't we come together and deliver on scale products and as well as knowledge to those populations? So I think this is really where we have to work together. So it's no more about working silo, but working together and bringing the technology and innovation in the end of our community people. That is really, I think that is really the way forward to do.
Thank you so much. You just mentioned education, and somehow it just feels like it just connects. But then again, I will just still put it out, because I think that as much as we want people to eat safe and nutritious food, it is possible that not so many know the right approaches to doing so, which we are still trying to tackle at this point. But there is need for nutrition education, just like you just said, which is very key to help people establish their food habits that are consistent probably with the nutrition needs of their body. So how do you think we can, maybe you can really throw more light? I know you've said something similar to this, but I think it would be nice to throw more light. So how do you think we can utilize nutrition education to improve the household nutrition?
So I really feel that nutrition education should be across all the ages, all the category of the population. This should start at the school. So in the curriculum of the our children, there should be at least a minimum of time where we talk about nutrition. So, you know, today it is obvious to everybody that, I mean everybody, those who have access to the information, that the way we are living, I mean the way we are feeding, determine even sometimes our life expectancy. So this is really determine how we are taking out from our own body in terms of intellectual capacity, in terms of body energy. These are all determined by what, on how we are feeding ourselves. So this is no more a joke. We have to really invest into education of children at the early stage, so that they are able to understand, if I eat this, what is the consequences to our body? If I eat this, what is the result in our body, in my body? So it's end up that they are aware, and they make a kind of alert and a strategic decision about their own feeding. So they will be looking at food that are nutritious to their body, that do not only bring energy or just fool their belly, but that will satisfy their nutrition need. So at that also, I think that we have our mother, our sisters at the health center becoming a big kind of catchment for them. So how also we ensure that the nutrition education is available at health facilities, so that they have access to it. And beside that, even the men, they should be also aware about the nutrition education. They should have that change. They should be able to discuss at home what is good nutritious food, what is not good for the body, what should be eat when, and what even about the quantity. Because the food today, you see all the challenges we have. Either some have little and they cannot provide the body enough nutrition, while some are also overfeeding themselves to create all those problems, obesity and with correlated diseases. So as a head of family, generally they should be able to aware how we are eating will end up into our medical bill and will end up on how much we are paying for the medical bill. So this should be a real kind of focus for our government and all the partners to really educate the population about the eating habit, the diet sense, but also that's not only the issue for those who are in the rural area, but even those who are in the big city. You see all those advertisements about junk food and so on. And I think that at that level, there should be also something to really, the government need to do as a regulator, need to do something, because this is really pushing people to those junk food. By the end, it's end up bringing them to the hospital, more bill, more pressure on the health facility. So I think that level, it should be there should be a kind of national nutrition engagement at all level that we ensure that the population is aware about their diet and is aware about what they eat, their diet consequences on their health, and as well as even the financial situation. Because if one end up being at the hospital at every quarter, so definitely we know where he or she is going in terms of financial situation. So I think that this is something big that we have to be a national priority for now.
Thank you so much for sharing that. But something just crossed my mind and I thought to just really put it out, because I think that some people sometimes know that the food that you're giving to them is good for them, is nutritious enough, but still they try to avoid food, maybe because of some sort of phobia for food or something. Because I want to use myself as an example right now. So growing up, I really avoided lots of food, even though my parents said, oh, the food is going to be good for you. Even at this point, there's some really good food I don't eat. I really don't want to expose myself now. So I don't take vegetables, because even though I know that it is good for my body, okay, but still, yes, I find it difficult to eat something like that. And at some point, my mom was really worried, and she said, maybe we should go to the hospital or something, probably because something is wrong with you or thereabout. And when I got to the hospitals, they were literally just saying I have probably it's anorexia or something. I'm trying to maintain my body and all of that, but that isn't the case. So I don't know what you can say to someone like me that really knows that this thing is good, but still yet I'm trying to avoid it. I mean, I feel like there are people out there just like that, but I don't know. So what are your thoughts on that? What's your advice to something?
No, I think it's all about the way that one has been educating with the food. So if I started giving my kid, or you started giving eating vegetable at the earliest stage, so it becoming somehow your normal food. I know some people in some culture, when there is no vegetable, that is not a food, because they have been educated with that way. So I think this is why I insist at the beginning that we have to really invest into the nutrition education or the diet education for our kid at the earliest possible. And for instance, I will give you an example. When I was in Eastern DRC, I usually tease kids, whatever you give them as a food, rice or whatever you give them, until they eat ugali, they will say, yes, we have eaten. That's only ugali is food for them. All the rest is just something else. So just to give you how that education at early stage is very important. And I think that we should be able to educate and pass the message to our mother, young mother, and so from now, that they have, and even the fathers, so they have the role to really set the mindset of the children, the future of our continent, in terms of about the good diet. So it starts from then. For sure, there must be some cases that will not like or whatever, but the majority, if we started earlier, will start eating well and have a good habit. It's all about that education earlier and creating that habit. As we used to say, the food is culture, the food is also a kind of tradition, the food is also our identity. So I think that we have to get it right in terms of our culture, in terms of our identity, in terms of who we are. Definitely the food also is part of the diplomacy. So you can see, for instance, how the food, I will take you the rice case, how the rice becoming a big kind of a stake between Africa and Asia. While some years back, rice was not in our plate, but today rice is in our plate. How do you explain that? So now we have to put every year billions on billion, most of the African country, to import rice from India. That's some few years ago, nobody cooked rice. Rice was even not cooked in our household. So to tell you how also our diet changed. So these are part of an example that we can also reverse and coming back our diet in most of the country to where we to what we produce at country level, what is accessible and nutritious. We have a lot of nutritious in food in our African traditional food list that now we are no more using. So I think this is where we have to get back.
Yes, I know. I mean, at some point, I was just really asking myself, how many foods do we have? Because sometimes it just feels like we go in circles, eating the same thing over and over again.
Exactly.
And you just wonder, where all this food? I mean, we've seen so many things before. Where did they go to? I mean, where did this food go to? Why are we eating the same thing over and over again? So yeah, these are major concerns that I think that so many persons are already, so many people are already facing, and they're really trying to look at, because I'm not the first person that is really thinking like this. So many persons are actually thinking this way, saying, where are the food? I mean, why are we eating the same thing over and over again? It wasn't the case before, but now if you don't eat rice, you eat Gary. If you don't eat Gary, you eat spaghetti, and it's just the same cycle. Whereas we have so many things, so many food that we could eat before now, but I don't know.
Yeah, I will just give an example. I am part of West Africa, where there are countries that people eat rice every single day. Every single day, no matter what the day is, there is rice at the lunch. I have that is to tell you how we have to fix that system. We have to fix our diet. Do you imagine the rice, that pressure on the body, the sugar from the rice, and also that kind of mono diet for the body? Every single day, and sometimes it is noon and night, rice twice per day, every day. So you imagine how we becoming kind of dependent to those kind of crop. So, and even affecting our diet. While before, rice was just a very small portion. And even sometime an old man tell me, we were just cooking rice on 2 days per year. he remembered that that time he was eating rice two days per year, and that was the feast day. I mean, the celebration days. So because there was no much time, there will be cooking the rice because of the pressure. But at the normal days, there is so much kind of diversity that of food that people used to eat. So you can remember how Elsie has been our grandmother and grandfather. Today, look at how the situation is. So just to come back to your point on the diversity, I think one of my dreams will be one day to be able to do a kind of mapping of all the African native or traditional food, and being able to really map up not only the list or of what is it made of, but also to being able to assess how nutritious they are. So the nutritious value of each of those food. So if you do that work in Nigeria, you will be amazed. Your mind will be blowing with all those variety that exists from the local production. Maybe sometime you will not be able to find some of those ingredients that have been maybe disappeared or whatever, but you will see that it's a kind of a gold mine that we have to really take back into our diet.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's really been an amazing time listening to you share your views, and I really appreciate you coming on the show today. We appreciate you, all of us here at Let's Talk Agriculture, to our listeners out there as well. We really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much. So guys, we have come to the end of today's episode. I really hope you learned from this. I hope you enjoyed this episode and also give an answer to the question I have thrown your way. Thank you so much, guys. You can follow us on all our social media platforms. We are on LinkedIn, we are on Instagram, we are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, and you can also watch our videos as well on YouTube. Thank you very much, guys. To learn more about what we do, you can explore our website at letstalkagriculture.com. Thank you so much, guys. I love you, and above all, God loves you more. Thank you, guys. Do have a lovely time. Bye-bye.